Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Well, Adam Ray comes in studio and always knocks it out of the ballpark. Lots of fun in this show. Do a little reminiscing on the man show and his bits, my bits. First, I'll tell you about True Niagen. I've been taking cellular health vitamin True Niagen for a few months now, and more than a few months. It's been like half a year. I feel great. You get older, your body's experiencing a near 50% decline in NAD, which negatively affects the health of the cells in the body, and that, of course, affects the entire body. Drew is on True Niagen. I'm on it. Many others are as well. It's real science. It's the real deal. And you get older, and your body doesn't react like it did when you were younger, and that's why True Niagen is around. And you put stress on your body, and you know, you don't eat right, lack of sleep, over-exercising, overworking. NAD really helps your depleted cells, backed by Nobel Prize-winning scientists, clinical research, and global regulatory approvals as well. Support cellular energy and defense with True Niagen, TRUNIAGEN.com. Use a code Adam, get $20 off any three-month plus supply of True Niagen. Now until July 31st.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Adam Ray. With Gina Grad on news, Paul Bryan on sound effects, and Dave Damashek's back with good sports. And now, if things keep going the way they are, he's going to convert that flight to Texas into a one-way ticket. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on. Your mandate. You get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. I saw the ratings yesterday, and they went up. So thank you for that. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian.
Yep, this is happening.
Always happy to see Adam Ray, so we'll be glad. You know why? Adam Ray's a funny guy, but Adam Ray is a nice guy. And he's an upbeat guy, and yeah. I realized how attractive that quality is versus the hangdog people out there, you know?
I guess.
Yeah. It's just real easy. You go, how you doing? And if they go, great, then it's good. And if you go, how you doing? And they go, I'm okay. Then you don't want to fucking be around them. I don't know,
well, you know.
Why people think that's attractive. Here's an interesting dynamic that I'm that I think you guys should try to. I don't know. I was just thinking about it. I was talking to Mike August when I was driving in, and he was saying that in Dallas, the two late shows are almost sold out, but the two earlier shows have more tickets available. Oh. And I said, hmm. And then he said, normally, the early shows sell out, and the later shows are a tougher sell. And I said, hmm, I wonder why that is. And then I put this forward, and I'm curious what you guys think. The later shows used to be, the crowd for the later shows were younger and drunker. And the crowds for the earlier shows were a little older and a little more sober. Isn't that middle-aged couple? And yeah, with the whole COVID-19 thing going on, maybe the older, more sober couples aren't going out as much as the younger, drunker folks. Yeah. I think that's a fact, right? So the slightly more conservative, I need to be home by 10 or I got to work tomorrow, that crowd who is the early show crowd is going, you know what? I'm going to stay in. Yeah. And the drunker crowd who would be more attracted to the late show is buying the tickets and still going out, or it's just a fucking coincidence.
No, I think your theory absolutely checks out. That makes perfect sense. That the conservative crowd in a normal, healthy, regular universe goes early and gets home early. The conservative crowd in a pandemic just stays home.
Yep. So
the first thing that jumped to my mind was childcare. You know what I mean? Because our audience is probably of the age they have kids that are a little too young to stand by themselves, maybe, but just a little old enough to like 10, 11, 12, that era. So I'm wondering, like, childcare, your grandma and grandpa got to watch them, or maybe the babysitter can't get there until a certain time. I don't know. First thing that's jumped into my head.
I think what Brian's implying is people in Texas wait till their kids go to sleep and then sneak out and go to show.
Sad
actually, but the babysitter has to get there a certain time, but that too.
I had a sad confirmation with my mom regarding her babysitter and my grandmom's version of why my mom was removed and taken to child protective services and raised by her grandparents versus her biological parents. Of course, my grandmother's version of why my mom was removed from her home or her apartment and given to child protective services is because the babysitter she had hired to babysit my mom when my mom was two took her to child protective services and dropped her off. I said,
what?
Yeah, I know. Well, by the way, imagine how bad the tip would be. You know what I mean? If you had a babysitter, I mean, normally I do 20%, but if they made, you know, ramen and made a mess in the kitchen, I might back a few bucks off. But if they took the kids to child protective services and dropped them off, a no tip for you. It's a straight $1.75 an hour. That is it. So, the story never really held up for me because I kept saying to my grandma, I don't get it. You got somebody to watch mom when she was two, and then you went out, and then when you came home, that person had taken the person to mom to child protective services, and that's the story? And she said, yep, that's what happened. And I said, well, then first off, how would that work? Like, how would that conversation work? And then why wouldn't you just go to Child Protective Services and go collect your kid if, in fact, that's what happened? And then,
oh, well, nothing to be done.
And then also, as I do all the time, I say to people all the time, what would be in it for that person? So I used to babysit. I used to babysit my neighbor, Adam, when I was 12, 13. I used to babysit Reeve and Ronnie up the street as well. I did a little babysitting, made $1 an hour. It was a good gig because for me, I got to watch color TV, get paid $1 an hour, and I got to eat, and I got to sit in a normal house. Yeah. It was all the things that I couldn't do at home. But I would never dream of taking the kid to Child Protective Services because there wouldn't be anything in it for me other than a very upset.
Derails the gravy train. You know,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's the last day you babysit.
Right. And the couple would probably be upset when they return from the movies, right? So I kept saying to my grandma, what was in it for them? And they said, my grandma said, the woman who was watching your mother, who dropped her off at Child Protective Services, had a crush on my husband.
What?
And
Jolene, I'm begging of you, please don't take my man.
Yes, and she knew we were leaving. We're moving out of the apartment complex, and this is how she was going to get him to stay. And then I thought, well, that doesn't really make sense either, because I would tend to be less attracted to a person who took my kid and dropped him off a child protector. So both those stories seem like a little tenuous to me.
It's fuzzy math.
Fuzzy math.
You have
for
to make
sure.
a leap either way.
So I said to my poor old broken down mom the other day, I said, you know, mom, here was grandmom's version of why you ended up at Child Protective Services, but maybe you have a, you know, you have a different version of it or a little more insight as to what it is. And my mom told a version that seemed to be more plausible, which is my grandmother would put my mom like in the crib when she was one or two and then just split, like just be gone for, you know, hours or days on end. And somebody saw this or found this or something. And in turn, someone, probably the woman in the building. I'm sure my grandma sort of had, I think what she did is she somehow connected two things, which is, well, the woman lived upstairs and she should have been keeping an eye out, you know, anyway or something. And I think that's probably how she connected, like the babysitter, but she wasn't babysitting. She just probably heard my mom crying or something down, you know, in the unit next to hers. Anyway, so that's that. And then there was the part where she was, I finally found out, raised by her grandparents from 2 to 9, who she thought were her her parents, which is awesome. So thanks for that, Nana. That's awesome.
Isn't this, even at this stage in the game, isn't it satisfying to have pieces of this puzzle snap together?
Yeah, it is. It's
just not, like, what the fuck?
Well, just to be clear for everyone, when they tell me their version of how things work, you know, when I say to Donnie, hey, man, I came in on Saturday and the air compressor in the back of the shop was running. And he goes, I turned it off. And I go, oh, did you use it? Yeah. When did you use it? Friday night. But you shut it off? Yep. So you think someone broke into the building and turned on the air compressor and then left? Maybe. Oh, don't think I don't know what happened just because you're giving me this version of life. I have these conversations, you know, like when I told Ray to take a groundling class and a few months went by and I went, hey, Ray, what's going on with that groundling class? Well, I met with a woman. She came by the house. We didn't gel. So we're just turning the page.
a little too late, man. Rage time has come. The groundlings are offering online classes now because of COVID. Oh.
I don't know if that's what happened. I don't assume someone came in and turned the air compressor on in the wee hours of Friday night or early Saturday morning and then left without a trace. And I don't assume a improv lady came to your apartment and you guys didn't hit it off. I don't assume either one. And
it was a groundling who came in to turn on the air compressor. Yes, and click.
And I don't assume that the babysitter took my 2-year-old mom and dropped her off at Child Protective Services. So even though there is clarity in it, I already had some clarity by knowing this is not what happened. You know what I mean? But also, it's the same thing you have with people when you go like, this person came up and started screaming at me for no reason. Like, you're kind of like, well, there's probably something.
Some reason.
There's probably some reason.
And they weren't screaming at you.
Yes. All right. Max Pata, you got a couple things on the screen there that don't make sense to me, but I will hop up and talk on the phone. Let's see. Casket Steve. Let's see. Let's talk to line 3. Marie, 53, yeah. Chicago.
Correct.
What's going on?
Well, as you can tell, it just seems to be getting worse. And worse with this town.
Chicago?
The murders, the rioting, this do-nothing mayor.
We're talking about Chicago?
Correct.
I'm going to leave for Chicago in about 4 hours, so I'm actually going to Chicago. So,
well, I hope you're not going anywhere near, like, downtown or the south side or west side, so it's just, you even have an alderman calling this mayor out daily. She ignores him. She ignores the citizens. But if the president says something, you know, that's when the mayor speaks up.
Marie, are you allowed to walk on along the lakefront?
Oh, God, no. it's, you know, because of COVID, it's like you stay in. And if you wanted to go out, it's like you're afraid these mobs are going to come out.
If any city should be allowed to roam freely outside, it should be the Windy City.
You know, I agree.
It's disgusting, and I'm tired of the excuses.
Well, maybe you should think about moving to, Montana or something.
I was going to move to the suburbs, but then COVID hit. And now, with these mobs, you know, nobody wants to look at homes in Chicago.
Are they...
So it's like, you know, I'm stuck in a rock and a hard place.
You have, so where do you own your home?
I live on the far northwest side of the city. So, you know, and it's starting to, these rioters are starting like sporadically just show up in certain areas.
I went to
the Walgreens and the clerk comes out and says, I'm sorry, you have to leave. We're closing up now because, you know, we got looters and rioters about a mile away. We don't know if they're coming here. I thought the hair on my arm stood up.
Well, you got to move to Portland because...
Utopia.
I don't... Yeah. Murray, I just think it's time maybe to leave the city. I would not want to live in a big city almost anywhere in the United States anymore. Well, anyway, I like a backyard and a dog and a pool and a hike and all that kind of stuff. But the cities feel vulnerable. Dangerous. Well,
it just doesn't make any sense. This is Lori Lightfoot. Talk about fuzzy math. She was on the police board. So I thought this was all about law and order with her.
I don't know. I think there's something going on. Thanks, Max Pata. There's something going on, which is I think law and order, cops and all this are being associated with Trump. Yeah. And so I think people are going, fuck that guy. And then you go, well, but what about this? And they go, I'm not for, you know, whatever he's preaching, we're going another direction. And I think some of that's going on. I don't know.
I think you're 100% right. And I think it works in both directions. It works with like the mask, you know, rejectors. You know, it's like, oh, this is something the other side wants us to do and no one's going to tell me what to do. And it works for your example of like, oh, Trump's for this. I can't be, you know, a party to this.
Yeah, that's what it is. And what we should do is go, if masks are good and law and order is good for the people, then that's what we shall implement. Because the stand back. I mean, there's this thing we're just going to kind of stand back and let the fire burn itself out. I don't know. I feel like that's kind of the opposite of law and order and government and what you'd want. And if you're in a position, I mean, it's real easy for us to go, well, just step back or get out of the way or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But if you're in a position where you have a liquor store or business or a home and the mob is heading down your street and the cops ain't answering the phone, that's a pretty scary position to be in.
Yeah.
And one, what I would kind of argue, the government, the kind of number one job for government is safety and security. Everything else, to me, schools and roads and transportation and all that kind of stuff, are a second, take a back seat to the kind of safety and peacefulness and law enforcement. And I think we should get back to that a little bit. All right, let's see. Got another question up here. Oh, all right, I'm gonna play a clip from my audio book, which Dawson says is timely. It's a two-minute clip that Max Penn and Dawson picked out, thought it would work well for today. What's going on today? My book is back up in supply, is back, and it ships in a day or so, and you can get it on Amazon or wherever you go, BarnesandNoble.com. All right, go ahead and set up the clip, Dawson, please.
So this is about how college administrators are coddling their students and student protesters and kind of goes along with the whole tearing down of statues and everything. This one particularly deals with the flying of the American flag and how that seemed offensive at one of this nation's colleges.
Administrators coddle protesters and encourage this nonsense. In 2016, one college went so far as to remove an incredibly incendiary, violence-inciting symbol of hate. We sane people know it as the American flag. It was at Hampshire College in Amherst, Massachusetts. Go fighting pussies! It seems that after Trump's election, some students were so triggered that they lowered the flag to half-staff in protest. The campus authorities, and I use that word loosely, kept it at half-staff until the next night when it was burned. Rather than deal with the fuckwads who committed arson, they took the flag down entirely. The college president said the students who burned it saw the flag as a powerful symbol of fear they felt all their lives because they grew up in marginalized communities never feeling safe. Back to the victimization identity. If you traveled back in time to 1963, interrupted a Don and Betty Draper-esque couple eating a homemade casserole, enjoying a martini and watching Ed Sullivan, and told them, in the future, we'll have something called an iPhone. It will be a television, a telephone, a map, a calculator, a record player, a camera, and a butler. All in one device the size of the pack of Lucky Strikes you're currently smoking at the dinner table. And there will also be a college campus in America that finds it too controversial to fly the American flag. The thing they would be most confused about is the flag part. Time machine? Sure. iPhone? Makes sense. We're on the cusp of the space age. No flag on campus? Shut the fuck up, future man. All right, so you can get that over at, wherever you get the audiobooks as well. Casket Steve from Cincinnati wants to talk scary movies. I think Casket Steve we've spoken to a few times. Mm-hmm. Casket Steve?
Hello, all. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for reminding me that I paid $13,000 for my father-in-law's casket.
Yeah, you got a deal.
Yeah, really felt like a deal. My dad's house was $13,000 that I moved into in 1975. All right. What do you got, Casket, Steve?
Yeah, instead of talking caskets this time or urns, I asked my kids if they thought The Exorcist was scary. Mm-hmm. You know, they're teenagers. The oldest is 16, and they all said no. And I thought, I can open this up to the three because I think all three of you have a different perspective. But even now, people still say it is the scariest movie ever made. But the younger generation wouldn't agree, apparently. So, what's your thoughts on this?
Well, maybe it's the pace. I realize the kids' metronome is so sped up now that they can't do the slow burn. I was watching
The Shining, very slow burn.
You know, speaking of The Shining, I was watching the scene with Scatman Crothers and the little kid when he was giving him ice cream. Mm-hmm. And he was talking to him about Shining. And I was looking at it, and I was like, Scatman Crothers was always kind of a novelty. He was, I don't know, Flip Wilson type. He did a lot of voices. Hong Kong Phooey, by the way. He did the voice of Hong Kong Phooey, probably right. From the Hong Kong Flu or whatever. He did
tamp down the Hong Kong Phooey talk.
It's Phooey, which is weird.
Right.
I didn't even know what it meant, but he did voices. He played the garbage man on Chico and the Man. He like scat. He's like, "Get out your cans, cause here come the garbage man." And he was like, it's just this bigger than life kind of novelty, kind of offensive stereotype of a black man. Although that would be today, 1974. Yeah. It was funny. But when he was sitting down and doing, having the conversation, that scene where they're just sitting in the kitchen and they're eating ice cream, I watched it the other day, was on TV when I turned on the TV and I decided to watch it. And I was like, he's a really good actor. Like, he was really good in that scene. Like, he was really present when he was talking to the kid, and he was talking to him about shining and seeing things and knowing things, and like, you know, and it, like that part where the kid was like, what's happening in room 223? And he's like, don't you go in there. Like, it was like, he was just good. And then I realized it's so funny how we treat actors like, that guy from The Love Boat or whatever, but he was a really good actor.
How about that dad from Malcolm in the Middle?
Right. Sorry, Brian.
He was in the hands of a master director, of course, Stanley Kubrick. I think we can, you know, dozens of examples of actors who are otherwise kind of marginal turning in magnificent performances with the right director. Cameron Crowe and Radio and, you know, Jerry Maguire. And, you know, why is Mark Wahlberg great in Boogie Nights, and why is he great in The Fighter? Because he's in the hands of master directors. Like, it really does make a difference.
Yeah, I agree. The script is huge, and the director is huge. And once, or you could take the same people and have them do a soap opera, and then you would call them a hack. You know, that's kind of where we're at. Hey, Casket Steve.
Yes, sir.
I think I haven't seen The Exorcist in a long time. I miss those days when they would really build up a scary movie and talk about having nurses stationed in the aisles of the theater in case someone passed out. And there's kinds of stuff like you have to sign a waiver before you go in. Yes.
Footnote to that, I should look up where it's streaming. It's a great documentary, and I mean, I really enjoyed it, called Spine Tingler, the William Castle story. And William Castle was the guy who had, he was Alfred Hitchcock, but like a showman, like P.T. Barnum meets Alfred Hitchcock. He would make you sign a waiver for certain movies. He'd have nurses stationed outside. Spine Tingler was a type of seat he invented that would vibrate with certain parts of the movie. This is way ahead of his time. This is like the late 1960s. Like, yeah. Look up, I'll look up where it's streaming, but Spine Tingler is a good documentary about that.
It's kind of an interesting era of people without social media. You know, back in the day, you had to put up banners or like drop flyers from a dirigible or something. You know, how did the folks, you know, like what would the Kardashians of 1881 have done? You know what I mean? But
showing
shown some ankle. But I think they with their fans out. No, but I think they would have figured out a way. I think they would have had some sort of thing, yep. You know, Guinness Book of World Records, best blowjob, or whatever they do. But what I'm saying is, it's like, man, they'd have drawings of the Elephant Man and stuff. Like, there were those people back then, minus a way to communicate, minus a telephone, minus a computer, minus the internet. But they still found a way to get their stuff out there,
the message across.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe this is, I don't know if it's just because I don't watch a lot of scary movies or everything feels kind of like stressful and stuff right now. So everything's, you're just a little more sensitive to it. Or maybe it's just because I'm dumb. All are on the table. But we watched the first 4 minutes of It, the sequel. I don't know if you saw that, Brian.
I didn't see it.
Okay. So that sucked.
I didn't watch it because, you know, I heard it was, you know, kind of interesting or whatever. But just laying in bed, like, super late and had a long day. And when you look up, it's kind of like a fake, you know, jump scare. But, like,
there's a lot of jump scares in that movie.
And a little girl looks up, and all of a sudden, there's a guy standing in the forest. Mm. And then she looks up again, and there's three guys standing in the forest. I was like, no,
not,
I can't.
For me.
It feels gratuitous and too scary right now.
So, Adam, what's interesting is that you said you hadn't seen The Exorcist in a long time. I saw it for the first time, maybe like 6-7 years ago.
Oh.
So it's like baseball players. Like, I you know, Ty Cobb would probably not stand a chance against, you know, Dwight Gooden or someone from the modern era, Justin Verlander. It's a different game. You have to judge the movies for their era. And I think for the 1971 or 74, whatever, The Exorcist came out, and even The Shining, 1980, those were terrifying movies. They're pretty slow by today's standards, and horror movies are not my genre. I find movies that are, like, horrific takes on reality to be really terrifying. Like, I think Seven is still the scariest movie I've ever seen, even though no one would call it a horror movie. I just, every time they turned a corner or like investigating a crime, like, oh shit, what's next? This is horrifying.
What about Rosemary's Baby and Dane?
Same thing.
And,
Rosemary's Baby is not scary by today's standards, but right. I'm sure it scared the shit out of audiences in 1968.
I feel like the jump scare, especially with the big music stab, is cheating.
Yeah, I
just feel like it's cheating. I don't, you know, they have the person, they're walking through the house, the creepy music is playing. The biggest cheat is the cat. They go tight on the cat, and the cat goes, and then I don't know what the cat's doing. I've had cats my whole fucking life. They never went like that. Just, by the way, not prompted by anything. Why is the cat doing that? And then there's a big music stab, and it's like, I'm sorry, that's not creative. That's not scary or creative.
If one of your loved ones could scare you in your own home by screaming and jumping out at you, then it is cheating in a movie. What do you guys think of The Babadook? Because I thought that was a great movie and a scary movie.
Never saw it.
I saw that movie. I guess there was Let Them In or Babadook. Yeah, okay. I didn't find it to be as scary as the claim. It feels like there was more hype. I did see that Swedish scary movie.
Let the Right One In.
Yeah, in this is a piece of timing. I was in Jimmy had successfully bid on a beach house at some sort of celebrity auction where you get the beach and you get this huge house and you get the servants and you get the whole thing in Mexico and blah, blah, blah. And had invited me and Danny Two Sheets and I can't remember what other couple or whatever to go hang out. Ironically, I had to cut it short a day to go to Addison, Texas to do shows, which I shall
Wasn't Jennifer Aniston there?
Probably. Or if not, I was replaced by Jennifer Aniston. But either way, I had to cut it short.
Fourth quarter of a soccer game.
I had to cut it short to leave this sprawling estate on the beach in the, you know, and in Cancun to go to Addison, Texas to drink red wine out of a plastic cup in my hotel room. By the way, in the hotel room where the bed was facing the same direction as the TV, which is never a good sign. By the way, you would never lay your bedroom out that way, right? Like, hey, where should the TV go? By my side, off to the side. And what I can do is I get my plastic cup, which will, by the way, collapse under the weight of my fingers, like one of those cups that just dinked. And I'll fill it with red wine, or I could drink red wine out of that black ceramic coffee mug that's next to the thing. Oh, no. And then I'll get myself oriented so I'm half my feet are hanging off the bed, and I'll build up the pillow so I can watch the TV laying in bed after the two shows watching the TV.
Nice and relaxed.
I remember, but that house had a movie theater, a separate movie theater. I mean, it was an estate. And Daniel said, we need to watch Let the Right One In, I think, the Swedish whatever one, which I thought was good. I sometimes feel like some of my hipper friends take foreign scary movies and they build them up a little more than maybe they should. Maybe it's because it's kind of, I don't know, a little more of an American genre. So when they find one out of whatever country, this country, that country, they go, oh, this one is so good. And then, like, I remember watching it going, it's good, but it didn't fall into the – it didn't scare me that much.
Yeah, I liked it. I found it good, but maybe the hype was a little too much.
Yeah, there's something about it's kind of like Justin Lin in the NBA. You know what I mean? It's like
Jeremy
Lin in the NBA. It's like when we find – well, the Asian's correcting me.
How dare you.
When we find that anomaly, like, you know, he was a good player. He wasn't great. He was just good, you know, and he had a little streak, and everyone got excited because it was like, oh, look at this guy. He's never there. We don't have an Asian guy in the NBA who's draining threes. Look at this guy. So we got all kind of excited about it. And I think when we see things that are like, here's a scary movie from a place where they don't normally make scary movies, we get kind of excited about it. I don't think it's a bad thing, but it gets a little oversold. Yes.
You're right. That's a good observation. In addition to that, it also benefited from something that not marginal, that can boost a movie in people's eyes very easily, which is it stuck the landing. That last scene in the pool, I don't know how well you remember it, but that is a fantastic scene. Maybe the best scene of the whole movie, and it happened to come right at the end. So I think people often, you know, when the movie sticks the landing and has a really good ending, people are like, well, that was amazing. It's like, no, it was good. Don't get me wrong, but that was the best scene in the movie.
And I feel that way about the Marmaduke as well. Don't correct me again, Chris. It's just kind of foreign and slow and okay, but not maybe a little overhyped. All right, Adam Ray is here, so let me get to Mercari here. The fast, easy way to declutter your home. Oh, I don't know about you guys, but especially if you have kids, you got so much stuff now. Old sporting equipment, the baseball mitt, whatever. That stuff you're not using anymore. I don't want it going in the landfill. I'd like to sell it and get paid for it. In minutes, you can download Mercari, take a few pics of the stuff, add a description, and it's listed just like that. Once it's sold, Mercari emails a shipping label. You stick it on the box. You ship it from your home. No meetups, no hassles, so you can do it. No meeting weirdo dude at the park. You sell it. Do it all online. Never have to get any icky germs from any strangers. Over 50 million downloads in all 50 states. Try Mercari and make some extra cash. We've all got some stuff laying around and stuff laying around we don't want anymore. We want to make some money. Sell and buy almost anything from home. Find it at the App Store. Or you can just check out Mercari, Mercari, America's no meetup marketplace. All right, we'll take a quickie. Let me just say hi to Mike real quick because he's been on hold for a long time. Hey, Mike, 56, Northern California.
Hey, guy. How are you?
Hi, guy. Where are you, over there in Placerville?
No, I'm not that far up. I'm actually in Brian's old neck of the woods down by San Carlos.
Mm.
Whoa. How about that? Proud son of San Carlos.
Are you close by or are you in San Carlos anymore? you want to know about Texas? Am I moving to Texas? Yeah. What's going on with Texas?
I saw you the other night on Tucker Carlson in a good interview, and I heard you say you were going to move maybe within the next 2 years, and I thought about everything you've got planted there and all that, and I know you could do the podcast anywhere, but whereabouts would you be looking in Texas to move to?
I really have no idea. I love this internet. I mean, my son, I told you, was looking for apartments in Denver because I took him with me to do some shows in Denver, and we went to Red Rock, and we went to the Shelby Museum, and went to Boulder, and it's like he's like, oh, this place is beautiful, like he loves the outdoors, and we hiked around Red Rocks and all that kind of stuff. So I have no idea. That my timeline is my kids are going to high school, maybe, I don't know, starting in January now. They'll enter the ninth grade, so they got a few more years there. I wouldn't plan on going anywhere when they were in high school because I'm a decent human being. And so I got 3-4 years to kind of kick some tires. But who knows? Maybe California and or Los Angeles will get its shit together in the next 3 or 4 years. I'm not counting on it, but
Based on the track record of the last couple of decades, maybe not, but it'd be nice.
Well, there is a, you know, if you ever ask anybody, well, when are we going to kind of turn this ship around? The answer is when we bottom out. So the question is how close are we to bottoming out? And if we're close, then maybe we can just hurry up and just bottom out and then just start the rebuilding process. Thanks, Mike. Adam Ray is here, and he'll be in studio right after this.
For just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
You heard Dick. It's time for a brand new month of Adam's Monthly Nut. This shipment includes a bug bite thing to suck out any mosquito bites you get while drinking Mangria in the summer sun. A you can frisbee here frisbee, perfect for tossing at the beaches Newsom won't let you go to. An ACS koozie to keep your beer cold. And most importantly, let people know that this beer is yours.
a ready patch for those who get a little rosy from drinking too many cold beers, and of course, a bottle of your choice. This $60 value is yours for only $25. Order one or keep the shipments coming at CorollaDrinks.com.
The Adam Carolla Show presents Adam Ray's Birthday Cocktail Party for June 16th. Let's see who's invited. Hey, everybody. It's Tupac Shakur, the most famous member of the Apache tribe, Geronimo. James Brian Helwig, better known as the Ultimate Warrior. Daniel Brühl is here. He's the guy who played Niki Lauda in Rush. We welcome John Cho, and professional golfer and all-around nice guy, Phil Mickelson. Nice party, Adam Ray. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Pretty well-rounded.
Holy shit, that is the best birthday tribute I think I've ever heard. I swear to God, the only person you're missing is...
parts unknown.
Is California
they share,
Angels...
They'll share your birthday.
Yeah, the only person you're missing is California Angels first baseman Wally Joyner.
Wally Joyner's on your you
which is the
same birthday.
Which, by the way, is the first... I remember, I think it was my mom or my mom's friend who told me, when you get to an age where you care about your birthday being a shared day, and they were like, Wally Joyner has the same birthday. And it doesn't matter now, and I don't think it did at 9. But then when I found out Tupac also shared the birthday, I was like, hey, Mom, let's prioritize Shakur above Joyner in the you share a day conversation. But that was great. Thanks, fellas.
Yeah, I remember like back in the day, you'd have to listen to the radio and they'd shout out the birthdays.
Right.
And if it was your birthday,
today's
that's
birthday,
how you learned.
Yeah. John Tesh. And
That's how you learn. So Adam Ray is here. Adam Ray's got a podcast about last night, of course, and also animated show Crossing Swords as well, available on Hulu. Dates coming up. So what's the stand-up world like for you at this point with all this pandemic going around?
So it's been touch and go. It's been very, to quote Wally Joyner, we're just kind of waiting and seeing. It's, you know, dates are put on the calendar, and then I'd say a week out, a spike will happen. Like, but also in places where it makes sense, like AZ got pulled, San Diego got pulled right after the 4th. But I'm going to Minnesota next weekend to do Acme Comedy Club, the 29th through the 1st. And they've kept it, you know, under control. And there's still a lot of places that are doing that. And also, as long as the club is taking the proper precautions and then you control what you can control, I have no problem going out. And I know I have talked to many comics that are just like, don't even want to risk it. They're like risk reward. And I'm like, yeah. In some places, the money is a little different, which is weird because you're still giving the same show, but they're just capping the room.
Yeah,
less,
I mean, obviously the way the business works is most clubs will give you 80% of the door and then they'll keep 20% and they'll sell a bunch of nachos and drinks and they're like, you know, a really expensive restaurant whose food isn't that good.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the business model. And I get it. And it works for the comics. It works for the clubs. But obviously, and then they'll offer you a guarantee. Like they'll go, all right, let's pretend we sold 2/3 of the tickets or half the tickets. That'll be your guarantee. The guarantee is kind of the incentive to get you on the plane and get you out there. And it also kind of makes them do their job, because what if they don't advertise, or what if they don't use their social media or buy a couple of local radio spots or whatever it is? It sort of keeps them on their game. Well, obviously, if you take the club and you go, all right, the club holds 400 people, so we'll do 4 shows. So that's a potential of 1,600 tickets we could potentially sell over the weekend. Well, let's lop that in half.
Right.
Lop it in half. Now we're at 800. So obviously the math shifts and there's less, you know, there's less guaranteed and there's less upside and there's less everything. On the other hand, you still get paid a bunch of money to stand there, drink a Miller Lite and tell fart jokes.
Whoa, hey, don't give away my whole act. It's been nothing but fart jokes during this pandemic. I have been, that's the other thing too. It's like I'm still writing and I'm still, you know, even just going up to Oregon to be with my dad when my stepmom was on hospice, I have a fucking 8-minute hospice bit. And, you know, it's to me something that is, I need that when I deliver the bit on stage. But there's chunks of even that are so, you know, personal and that I'm connected to that I want to share. And I'll just give you a little bite of it. A buddy of mine texted me a few days after when I said, hey, man, can I talk to you later? My stepmom's on hospice. 5 minutes later, he goes, dude, I feel like such an asshole right now. I thought you said my stepmom's on Hospice. I thought it was a new dating app. I swear to God. And I texted back. I go, well, she, you know, she is moving on from my dad, so you're not totally wrong. Okay. Well, more laughter, hopefully, at the club. But it's still just like, you don't lose that desire to be on stage, I feel like, during this. So I want the reps. I did a virtual show that was like all Zoom screens in front of you, like Minority Report last week, which was fun. But like, hey, man, you can't replace the live thing. And if I have the opportunity and it's, again, done safe, I want to do it so that we don't get replaced, you know, by people that shouldn't be doing comedy.
Well, I feel the same way in that you want to, especially in California, you'd like just traveling, getting out, going to the airport.
Yes.
Weird stuff that you used to kind of complain about.
You kind of miss it now.
Yeah, you kind of miss it. I mean, that's life.
I miss seeing a TSA guy and be like, dude, hey, put your hands anywhere, man. Like, now I'm just overcompensating because I'm so happy to be there.
Yeah, just to kind of...
I make sure I'm stocked with weed just so they can fucking just touch, just so I can feel something, you know?
Just getting up, and it's not all just about getting up on stage and telling jokes. It's like walking into the hotel and going, hey, they got a cool bar.
Yes.
Like, we should have a drink.
Yeah.
Like, just weird little stuff that you haven't done in a while. So there's that. But you also realize the only reason you probably don't like anything, including relationships, go this direction as well, it's all about repetition. It when you mix it up, you'll find you like almost everything. Like I was talking to someone the other day. They said, you know, working outdoors, working with your hands. Like when I used to be a carpenter, they go, yeah, there you are in your t-shirt and your cutoffs and you got your radio playing and you're enjoying yourself and you're out in the open air and you don't have the boss man, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, yeah, but it gets hot. And, you know, you got to take a dump in a porta potty. It's a phone booth, basically. It smells like ass. And, you know, you drink out of the hose. And then you realize that the best life is not the one where you're indoors in air conditioning, sitting in an office, staring out of a window that doesn't open. And it's not on the construction site, up on the roof, nailing off shear wall. It's going outside for an hour,
yeah,
doing that, then going into the air conditioning for an hour and using a bathroom that has like tile in it,
then
going back. It's the mix and the match. It's not that one is better than the other. And the thing about like going on the road, doing stand up, sort of traveling and doing all that, it's not good or bad. It turns bad after 9 weeks in a row. But if you don't do it for 9 weeks, then it's great.
Yeah.
And it's kind of that way with food and pussy.
Yeah. Also, I don't know if you guys, Brian and Gene, are feeling this too, but if I don't do, like, thankfully podcasting's still, you know, very possible, but like if stand-up, if I start to like not do something that I was doing all the time and start like allowing like these pandemic pursuits to start to like make a splash. Like, you know, we've all had those ideas where you're sitting around and you're like, maybe I'll start a garden or maybe I'll get a Zoom band or I'll invest in a Crocodile Mile business. I'll just buy them and I'll sell them out of my car to kids who can't afford water and I'll shave my head. You know, like I don't want those things to actually become a reality.
There's also the other part, which is maybe I'll have a meltdown inside a Costco or kill a homeless guy. Like there's other, it's not all victory gardens and crocheting and learning a third language. A lot of it is weird negative.
Yeah. I went to the positive.
Sitting down in the middle of a Ralph's until you're escorted out.
Oh, yeah, that was real, right? Didn't somebody take a shit at a Walmart somebody last week or pissed on the floor of a Rite Aid or somebody like queefed at a Joann Fabrics? Something happened where it made national news and it was in protest of not covering up.
Well, this might not be the exact one, but the big one that got big headlines was the woman they're calling the Portland Athena or the protest Athena. If you've seen the pictures, sorry, Chris, maybe you can find it. The woman, and the way the LA Times described this story, it was like the J. Peterman catalog. It wasn't news. It was she emerged from the mist in wearing nothing but her defiant grin, and she. God. Yeah, she had no clothes on and was spread eagle in front of the there it is.
Whoa.
In front of the guys firing, you know, the pepper spray and the whatever.
That's, yeah.
That's target practice.
Well, here's why I love this, okay? And I've said this
Dr.
many times. Sure, Adam. I've said this on my program many times and on my Instagram.
We're looking at a woman sitting in the middle of an intersection.
Sure.
Totally naked, looks young, and is literally spreading.
Looks very young.
Eagle.
You can tell from the back muscles. She is active, okay, in Pilates or yoga. It's her choice, which I respect. But, you know, what people don't understand, okay, is you can fight fire with fire. She said, I see your tear gas, and I raise you an open cooter. We'll be right back.
Yeah, no, but, I saw the story. They did fire tear gas, and she fired a ping pong ball back at them. So I don't know if you heard that, Phil.
Well, I did hear that, and that's something, and I'm looking to book her on my show because we had a whole week, okay, it was for Sweeps Week of Ping Pong Pussy Shooters, and it's also a band I'm trying to start up. Let me know if you can play the piccolo, but she does seem like she's got a lot of downtime, and that we can all relate, okay? I can't tell you how many times I've woken up and said, maybe I'll just go lay in the middle of, on La Cienega, okay, spread eagle. Okay, right in front of the P.F. Chang's and see if they bring out my lettuce wrap sooner. We'll be right back.
Hey, Max and Pata, there is a man show bit. We used to do movies men don't want to see, but we did movies men do want to see. I think we did Rugrats.
Nice.
Go to the Philippines or something. Or go to Thailand or something. I remember that was one of them. It's funny. I was thinking about the other day. We would do we would do movies men don't want to see. We'd do like four of those in a row, and then we'd just mix it up and do movies men do want to see. But we also, one of our least popular man show episodes ever is we did man show, the woman show. We did an episode where Jimmy and I basically, we weren't dressed as women, but we're playing it. Everything was
like,
for women.
Sweaters.
Yeah, we did. Max Bat. Another thing to find too, which is we did a Boys Gone Crazy commercial was in there. It was like everything was the opposite.
Oh, it was like a Girls Gone Wild spoof or what?
Yes. Yeah. It was everything was the opposite of the man show, which I thought would be really funny and clever, but after 4 minutes in front of the drunken man show audience being pissed off. But it was still funny, and we both played a sort of, I don't know, Max Pat, I'll find it, made me laugh.
Who replaced the Juggies?
I can't remember. I just remember we dedicated a show to the woman show. Oh, we just became the woman show, and it's funny in
premise.
I love
the episode. I feel like the Juggies are dressed like Supreme Court justices or some sort of scholarly thing.
Yeah, they weren't showing skin. And for the guys who used to tailgate in the parking lot for 2 hours and then come in and treated the man show like a sporting event.
Right.
They were totally disappointed that they came the day we were doing the woman's show. But Max, if you can find Boys Gone Wild.
Yeah, we found. We're scrubbing through
it'll,
right now.
It'll make you laugh. The audience hated it. It was my idea.
You know, another reason I want to do stand up so bad right now is, like I mentioned, like, I don't know if you remember when football, there's that movie, The Replacements, and then even like in baseball, we had the replacement. It was baseball, right? Were there replacement players when baseball was on strike?
I think
it was football.
It was football.
Well, football for sure.
Fact, yeah. Well, baseball's okay. Yeah. So regardless, if that happened. Was that?
There was. I remember there being an issue with weird bit of trivia. Remember they used to have the t-shirts with like caricatures of all the players on the team, like 12 caricatures over the t-shirt. One of them was left out because he crossed the line, crossed the
picket line,
or was a scab or whatever. And he's like, listen, my family, you know, a sick kid or whatever. And then the team's like, nah, fuck that. We're not putting you on the team shirt. For some reason, I think it was Jamie Quirk. And you, so look that up.
Okay. Yeah, when's his birthday?
That asshole shares my birthday. I'm going to be so pissed. But I think that even in our world of stand-up, like, there's a potential for that happening. So I took the liberties of going in full prosthetic to basically – we all know people at every stage in life at your, you know, your temp job, your, you know, your grocery store, corporate job, whatever. People that are like, you know what? You know, I've been getting a lot of laughs around the office. It's probably about time I put my money where my mouth is and hit that stage and bring all my coworkers to the open mic. So I don't know if we have that, if we can play.
Max Bash probably looking for 8 things simultaneously now, but we'll play that.
Okay. Right. Oh, here we go.
Here we go.
The world is a crazy place. As the pandemic surges, stand-up comedy struggles to survive. While comedy clubs and venues across the country do their best, the future is bleak. Thankfully, those assholes at the office who always said, you know, I could do stand-up comedy, have attempted to fill the void.
Thank you. Man, sorry, I got a little COVID in my throat. These are crazy times, though. Kids want to go back to school, you know. It just makes me wonder, though, what's that sack lunch going to be like? You know, just a vaccine and a juice box? But you got to use the straw from your juice box to give yourself a coronavirus test. Not in the nose either. In the butt. Man, so Disneyland's reopening. That is crazy talk. I wouldn't even pay to go to that place pre-COVID. Now you're trying to get me to go? It's a small world. Yeah, it's a dangerous planet. But Goofy's already got COVID. He's like, zoink, Scoob. But it's cool. You know, relationships are tough during the coronavirus. This is tough to hook up during quarantine. I've been having a lot of Zoom anal. But, you know, it's, you know, I divorce rates are up. Divorce rates are up. This guy knows what I'm talking about. Tough to keep a marriage secure in the COVID. Yeah. It's like, hey, honey, did you cough on my eggs? So I want a divorce. I'm cheating on you anyway. But it's crazy out there. Real quick. This is Rachel Ray stubbing her toe in the dishwasher. This next impression is, this is any stepdad meeting the real dad for the first time. Hey, so I saw you bought him a better laptop than the one I got him. Cool move.
Psych.
And the last impression I'm going to do is Ray Romano watching Two Girls, One Cup. We've seen it.
Did anybody have their email?
I went to the store the other day. Not a lot of Plan B left, but tons of those little. Fuck! I forgot that one. You know, it's like I go to a party now. Hey, are you wearing a mask? I don't know. Are you wearing a mask? I don't know. Is there gonna be hand sanitizer? I'm like, why, man? We're all Jews. Things are getting crazy though. I got in a fight with a Postmates guy. He was like, hey man, where's the tip? And I was like, we'll give you a little tip to your face, man. But in all seriousness, I've been in 6 fights during this quarantine.
All right.
2 with my cat.
All right.
Yeah.
One online.
You get it.
It's funny.
Yeah. So there's probably 3 more minutes of that.
Well, we don't need that guy taking our place.
No,
we don't need
that's the point. Yeah.
Keanu Reeves.
That's a cautionary tale.
Coming in here and taking our place.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a replacements reference.
Yeah. It's not, you know, it's a it's a joke possibility, but also I have had, the reason why that even came about is I have had friends that were like telling me they were starting to just, like we were joking about other hobbies we could find. They were like, think about starting comedy. No joke, one of my good friends up in Seattle, and I was like, oh, God, man. He was like, I'm going to start a podcast. He's like, I'm going to start doing Zoom shows. I go, you haven't done a live show, though. And he was like, yeah, but like, now's the time. I go, but fuck, no. But
you have to kind of think about this moment in history. Like, it's not, you know, it's partially the pandemic, but this moment in history. So anybody can do a podcast.
Sure.
Anybody can do a Zoom stand-up, whatever. Anyone can launch their own YouTube station, channel. Anybody can really, you know, you want to cut an album? You want to make a record? You want to make a digital, you know, CD or digital? Literally, it's open. Yes. Anyone can do it. Doesn't mean you're going to sell anything or have any audience, but anyone can do it. Yeah. And so it makes a lot of people go, hey, maybe I'll cut a record, or maybe I'll start a podcast, or maybe I'll start my own channel.
Wow.
And like 100 years ago, you couldn't go, I think I'm going to start my own logging camp. Because people are like, how the fuck's that?
No
time. You're going to do that? How's that? Like, you couldn't just go, I'm going to manufacture my own tractor, or I'm going to make my own logging camp, or I'm going to manufacture my own, you know, printing machine or something. Because that was a fucking bunch of work that you would have to do. But you can say on Friday, you could say Sunday night at midnight, I think I'm going to start a podcast. And be up and running Monday by noon.
Yeah.
You couldn't, in the past, you couldn't say that because everything was like you have to get a factory and hire people and get machinery. And like you just couldn't start businesses.
Right.
But
the time
really
wasn't available,
businesses.
Right?
Right.
The time, I mean, it's like when, in fact, the time is the biggest thing. When Bill Gates, this might have been 2 years ago, was coming up with a way where you could drink the water that like was in your shit, I was like, yeah, you have so much time. That's why this idea even came about. If you got that much money to afford that much downtime, I too would probably be like, what if I could drink my own poop water? You know what I'm saying? So time really affords you the possibility to get overly creative. Yeah. Which
you
I
know,
think.
Speaking of time and entrepreneurial ideas, I've been meaning to tell you, Adam, I cannot get your brother-in-law's song out of my head. And I play it frequently.
What, for real?
Yeah, we watch the video maybe once a week.
Your sister's married.
Shout out to Dirte.
He's married to Machine Gun Kelly or whoever that is.
Dirte. Dirte.
That song is awesome.
He's gonna rub one out to this clip. That is that is.
I love the video. I love the song.
Well, there's more, and there's. I mean, he's been trying to get me to help him with a music video about Kegels for at least the two of the
really?
Years I've. Oh, yeah. But because I think it's like a funny song, but like he's got a lot of, you know, that's the thing. He's not bad. So it's like in the music, but he's just now, you know, having to transition more with his construction business, which he crushes, which is why he also, you know, is like, you got to get me down to L.A. so I can, you know, mix it up with Corolla and talk shop. And I'm like,
what kind of construction does he do?
I mean, everything. Just right now, I think he's working on stuff at the airport, but I mean, was working at a couple different companies, then went out on his own, just fixing up. I'll show you some of his work. I mean, he's just a master with his hands, and which I think he's rapped about
your
my sister.
Your sister's a lucky woman.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think I told you guys the first time I saw him, the song was like, I don't know if that song is out on YouTube. That's the one to find where it was like, and all these bitches gotta come out me, cause if you go in downtown and you suck on my crank. Like it was, and I'm literally like, and he's like, and the bitches that, who know me, who suck at the rent, suck at the best. Uh-huh. It's like the ones that live, the one, she's right next to Adam. Like it was so specific, and I was like, all right, this has gotta be about her. But then I was like, all right, I'm tapping my foot, so I can't hate totally, you know.
I love that song.
He'll appreciate that. That's awesome.
Max Pat, did you find any of the woman show that I just had some vague recollections about at some point?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
what was
we'll
the opening of that? Or at least Boys Gone
that's,
Wild.
That's when we have,
made the audience.
We'll have to queue up first.
We filmed it at Lake Havasu.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
A fun day trip.
This is my idea, but no one liked it.
It's not suitable for younger viewers. I already love this.
Girls, you asked for it and you got it. The all-new Boys Gone Wild 2.
Oh, God.
This video is jam-packed with exclusive new the hottest guys from across the nation. Ladies, these aren't paid actors. They're actual boys next door on spring break. Uncensored and out of control. Order now and you'll receive the all-new Candid Nut Shots free.
Oh, Candid Nut Shots.
Batman, young men, rich men, fat men. Ladies, you'll think you died and went to scrotum heaven. You'd have to be nuts not to order this. That's Boys Gone Wild 2 for $19.95. Oh. And if you order right now, Candid Nut Shots free. Order now and see what happens when boys go wild. Warning, this tape is not suitable for younger viewers. Adults only.
Oh, my God. Dude, that is so brilliant. I mean, it's like all the dumb dude, like, because no girl in their right mind is driving by a boat of that going, ladies, we got to pull over, make a pit stop.
Well, anytime you can show the difference, you can paint a picture where it's like,
yeah.
If a guy sees a nip slip or some ass cheek or something, it's hot. And if a chick sees some nutsack hanging out of a guy's tennis shorts, yeah, they're disgusted by it. And
they relocate.
That means we're different. That just means we're different. Yeah, we went down to Havasu.
Candid Nut Shots is such a great title for a VHS.
We went down to Lake Havasu, and we just found drunken dudes, like, on a boat.
All looked like real.
Those were dudes.
Not actors. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We were like, hey, man, as long as you're partying, how much and
how
like,
much for a tank
they're
shot?
They're like, what? And we're like, let's see some ass. And they're like, why? And why are the Man Show guys wanting us to drop our shorts?
By the way, for sure there were some guys that didn't even ask why. You were just like, hey, show me those cheeks, and they're like, you got it, one or two.
Yeah,
because it's amazing too what people will do when the camera's on and a little bit of booze is already down the gullet, because I'm sure they saw the crew, and I don't know whether they knew before they even put it together that it was the Man Show, and they're like, oh, this could be our big break, which some people think, even if they are just showing a little bit of a test. But I'm sure they saw that and were like, fuck yeah. Like, you know, people go, when they're drunk, they're like, I'm down to do whatever for the camera, which is why, you know, it can sometimes lead to an inappropriate moment.
I remember I have a couple vague memories, which is we were shooting in Havasu and we had to leave on a Friday after we taped two episodes of The Man Show. And so we piled onto like a rock and roll party bus, or just a rock and roll tour bus. Yeah. I'd never, with beds and stuff, because we're just leaving and we're going to just get drink beers and like drive through the night to get to Havasu. We got there at 3 a.m. or something. But for some reason, we were singing a song on the bus that I've never shared with you guys because it never really made any sense. But it was to the theme of the Simon and Garfunkel song.
Yes.
The Boxer?
I think.
Is this Randy West?
It was Randy West. Oh, I must have shared it with you if you know it. Randy West. And Randy West. Boom. We had like 8 guys on the bus. Randy West. Come on. Randy West.
Sing the hearts out.
Boom. Randy West. It's like he's a porn star, but for some reason, for several hundred miles, we were singing the Randy West, Simon Garfunkel song, which I hadn't thought about in a long time either.
The things you do to pass the time.
I also remember a super rude Danny Two Sheets did one of the a super rude move, which is we were staying at a motel in Havasu that had like one of those, it was like open, had open balconies, and it was a cheap motel. And I said to him, like, hey, I got to shoot all day. I got to take a nap. And he's like, come on, dude, let's party. And I was like, I got to sleep. My argument with Daniel all the time was, when we're filming Man Show bits, you are like in a swimming pool with a fucking cocktail. I'm like wearing makeup and having to hit marks and do lines and memorize shit. So I can't go out and party all night and then go shoot all day. I got to get some sleep. Right. And he's like, come on. Called me a dullard. He's like, come on, dullard. We're partying. And I'm like, yeah, because you don't have to perform later on. And I said, you know what? Fuck you. I'm taking a nap. And he's like, you're a dullard. And I go, just get out of my room and take a nap. And he goes, fine. I took a nap for like an hour and a half. And when I got up, I realized that when he left and he left my room, he just left the door wide open, like open to the outside, like open to the parking lot, just open, like people just walking past and pulling up in trucks and stuff. And I was just in my room in my underpants asleep the entire time. Didn't even have the fucking decency to shut the door.
Got him.
Damn it. Call me a dullard.
Dullard. Where is that? What? Where does that term derive from?
Yeah, it's like you would add ARD to anything, like drunkard. Like it's just right, like one who is often drunk. Dullard, one who is often dull.
Yeah.
Like my mom says yikeroonies. That's her like Midwest Oklahoma, like that's her version of like if you drop like the pasta salad, instead of saying like fucking Christ fuck, like she says yikeroonies.
Yeah. Oh,
wow. And so like, but I know like what region of the country, but dullard, that's...
It'd be like a pedophile erd.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay, that clears it up.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You were dull, or you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Or you drank too much?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we'd add erd.
Right.
By the way, you had me at he's a drunk.
Yeah.
I didn't need drunk erd.
No.
Or dull. He's dull.
Didn't extra clarify.
Dull erd.
Yeah.
But it is funny that you do remember specifics of what people call you. You know, I remember Daniel calling me a dullard. I remember a woman at the beach yelling excuse you at me once when I walked towards stuff. Like, you remember these weird little phrases?
Guess what my favorite professor, who I was absolutely devastated when he passed away. He was a mentor. I loved him to death. Guess what he affectionately called me? It was my term of endearment. And if you think you could call a student this in a college today and have them laugh, I think you're probably wrong. You know what his term of endearment was for me? Mm. Dumb bitch.
Wow.
Endearment, huh?
Damn, the DB.
It's because we were kind of arguing about some philosophy, some, you know, theater dramaturgy thing. And we were arguing, and I kind of checkmated him on a point. He's like, oh, what do you know? You're a dumb bitch. I'm a scholar. So everything was like, oh, there she is. There's that dumb bitch. And I would laugh, and I knew it was out of love. And try that in 2020.
No.
See how far that gets
No
down.
Thanks, table no. for one.
No, ma'am.
Yeah, when I was a kid, when I was a fat kid, I got called, I'll never forget, it's again, the names stick with you. Adam Fatim, which is like almost too easy because it just rhymes. Mm-hmm. Jello Jiggler was probably the most creative, but also very offensive. Mm-hmm. And then I would like fight back. At a certain point, you go, am I going to take the verbal abuse or am I going to fight fire with fire? So then I would go, oh, yeah, that's right, Jello Jiggler. You want some pudding pops? And even the recess teacher was like, this kid is ahead of his time. Like, he's doing an impression of a rapist before it's even like a known thing. Like, right. It's a comedic gamble. The biggest one, Dustin Brody, who was like my school bully, who like, you know, would push kids down in the mud and like was just, you know, had the haircut of a bully, which it's funny. It's like when you see the mugshot of a guy who like was hiding chicken McNuggets in his ass, it's always like, yeah, that's the guy that would do that. Dustin Brody, the look of a elementary school bully, called me penis and tits kid in the sixth grade. And I'll never forget that.
My high school Spanish teacher.
Oh, we're just going to move on from that? Brian's like, yeah, I got one for you.
Say, yes, we've all got these. High school Spanish teacher in like 1994. I was a chubby kid. And he called me in class. And my nickname was Gordo.
Yeah, all
right. Right? Yeah, a little fatty. And he kept calling me that, and it pissed me off. So this is before the internet. I had to get a fucking Spanish, you know, translator book, because he was not a man of tall stature. I looked up shorty, and it's like chaparro. So like, one day he's like, hey, Gordo, what's the answer to this? I'm like, I don't know, chaparro. And he's like, very good.
Oh, wow. See, that's
learning
the way to
young
do it.
Fucking clap back.
The Mexicans, they don't mince words. Because
isn't there a show called Gordo y Flaca, like the fat and the skinny?
Yeah, when I worked on a construction site, one of the Mexican guys I worked with had his fat 14-year-old son worked with him, and he called him Bota de Queso because he called him Ball of Cheese. That's just his name. They just call you fat. By the way, it's a two-way street because if you're in charge, they call you the jefe. Maestro, you know what I mean? Like they go up pretty good too. You know, like you could be the maestro or the jefe, but you could also be Gordo or Bota de Queso. Like they swing big. Whitey kind of runs it down the middle. You know what I mean? We don't call the boss the maestro, but we don't call the fat chick fat either. We just kind of keep it in the center lane, right down the middle. Yeah. The Mexicans, they got big swings in their labels.
Can we please just circle back real quick to pizza?
I know. Come on. That's too specific to just not give an extra 10 seconds of breath to. Yeah, reverence. Dustin Brody, wherever you are, dude, that has not escaped my mind and will probably come up in a comedy special.
I think we have the do we have?
Well, so clip of Dustin Brody.
Well, you're talking about when we were looking at that girl in Portland naked about movies men do want to see.
Oh yeah,
but
oh,
the Rugrats movie is actually movies men don't want to see.
Oh, it is.
So I don't know which one you want.
Well,
we have both.
Don't
want
to see. All right. Well, whatever the Rugrats one is, so let's see what that is.
And for the dads to avoid, when Nickelodeon's favorite cartoon kids and the parents who habitually neglect them travel abroad. They wind up kidnapped by opium fiends and forced into child prostitution in Rugrats in Bangkok.
What a great segment.
Yeah.
I mean,
dodging ping pong balls.
There's something completely new in their diapers. I would rather.
And you're in a little mock movie theater? Come on, man.
Want to hear Jimmy's joke?
Pack my rectum full of M80s and squat over a flaming hibachi, then see this movie. Next, who says senile isn't sexy? Betty White and B. Arthur set tongues a-wagging and leathery nipples a-stiffening when they transform a sleepy retirement community into a polident poontang party in... Lick the Wrinkle.
It's pretty good Photoshop.
Back in the day.
Back in the day. Look at those hands.
When you're in love, a varicose vagina can seem like the only vagina in the world. I've said it many times. I would rather have a circle jerk with my dad and grandpa. May he rest in peace than see this flaming turd of a movie. Next, mystery and hack comedy collide when Tom Bergeron's impromptu response cue cards are stolen. Oh, and it's up to a bumbling group of C-list celebrities to crack the case in Hollywood Squares the Movie, starring Latrell Sprewell as Whoopi Goldberg and Linda Tripp as Bruce Valanche.
Yeah.
I would rather
All right,
have
we can pause
that.
I don't even remember that. I have no recollection of that movie, even saying anything I've ever said. All right.
That's amazing.
We'll do the news in a second. First, let me hit Madison Reed, Mr. Working from Home, staring at your coworkers on the Zoom calls, getting the gray. Yep. Thinking about coloring it? You're not alone. Madison Reed, Mr. Gray blending, natural color for your hair and for your beard. I've seen the before and after shots, and they look amazing. And you don't have that shoe polish look. You have a natural look. So you do it right with Madison Reed Mister. So if you're thinking about getting a little more pepper and a little less salt, might I suggest Madison Reed Mister. Makes it easy. Find your color. You just hop on their website and match up your color. Comb it right in. Quick and easy. Just apply the color gel, and you can do that to your dry hair, then the activator. Wait 10 minutes, rinse it out, and you're ready to go looking younger and more youthful. It is Madison Reed Mister, right, Dawson?
Go to MadisonReedMister.com. That's MadisonReedMister.com. And use code Adam for 10% off plus free shipping on your first box. Again, that's code Adam.
And Adam, if you look next to you, you have the box Madison Reed sends you, too. So it comes all nice and compact and gives you everything you need.
Oh, yeah. You get the gloves, you get the gel, you get the whole thing. And it's all in a nice, compact little box. Madison Reed Mister, everybody. All right. So let's see. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and do the news right after this.